I have some questions for you, and just so you have permission, you can yell at the answers, okay? What do you do in a swimming pool? Very good. What do you do in a bowling alley? What do you do at school? That's good to know. What do you do at the gym? What do you do at the restaurant? What do you do at the mall? Are you good at that? So, let's dig a little deeper. Can you sleep in a swimming pool? Well, if you got one of those mat things, maybe you could. Can you eat at a bowling alley? Okay. Can you sweep the floors at a school? So can you talk to friends at a gym? Huh. Can you work at a restaurant? Can you talk about Jesus at the mall? Yeah. In fact, the passage we're looking at today, that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. The Apostle Paul was at a mall, and he was talking to people at the mall in Athens, and the people were like asking questions, and they said, hey, can you come to a council meeting? Because we all want to hear what you're saying. And so they invited Paul to this meeting of the council so that they could all hear what he was saying. And so that's what we're taking a look at today in Athens, Acts chapter 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. So the first thing we notice there is to study people. Study people. That's what Paul did. He studied the people. And he went into Athens. And Athens, the people in Athens were different than the people in Thessalonica, were different than the people in Rome. And so he said, let's study the people. And so that's what he did. And he made some notes about the people in Athens. Paul said, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. Religion is trying to get good enough all on your own. Religious people say, look what I did. And some people wonder, well, can religious people worship? Yes, religious people worship, but what they worship is themselves. Look how good I am. Aren't I good? Look at me. I'm good. And Paul noticed that about the people in Athens. That's what they were doing. They were trying to be religious. And so he studied people, and then they try to get good enough on their own. They try to get good enough on their own. One of my kids, and I can't remember which one, used to say, I want to do it my myself. And in saying that, they said it all wrong. And they tried to do things all by themselves. Can we get good enough to be perfect in God's sight? No, we can't get good enough. But people still try. And that's the one thing that Paul noticed in Athens. He also noticed the first part of verse 23. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. You know what a shrine is? A shrine is like a monument you build to an idol. So you have one idol, and you have this monument to one idol. And then over here, you have another shrine to another idol. And you have all these shrines to all these different idols all over the place in Athens. And so why did they have so many idols? Why were they worshiping so many idols in Athens? It's because of something, and they talk about it today. Have you ever heard of FOMO? Do you know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. And so they wanted to be sure that, like, okay, there's all these gods, and what if this god is the right god? And what if this god is the right god? And what if this idol is the right idol? And we should worship this idol. And, oh, we heard about a new idol. Well, let's add that to the bunch. And see, they try to cover all their bases. And we have people that do that today. A little bit of Jesus, a little bit of humanism, a little bit of selfishness, a little bit of mysticism, and they just mix it all together because they want a little bit of all of that. They try to cover all their bases. So those are the two things that Paul noticed about the people in Athens. They were religious, and they were trying to make sure they had all their bases covered. So in the second part of verse 23, notice what happened. And one of your altars had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. And so what did Paul want to do? Paul wanted to tell him about God. How do you do that? You start with what you have in common. And that's what he did. He saw an opening there. He said, you have a God. They wanted to make sure that they worshiped all the gods and they had one to an unknown God. Paul said, that's an opening. That's common ground. I'm going to tell you about that God you don't know anything about. And you start by building common ground. If you want to talk to somebody about God, you start with common ground, what you have in common. You're building a bridge, a connection. And there was a day I was in my office, and a guy came in. His name is Dan. He lives back in the neighborhood behind the church somewhere. And Dan said, I'm here because my neighbor just ran over your mailbox. And she didn't bump into it. She ran over the mailbox and drug it about 10 or 15 feet. Because if you're going to do something, do it well. And so she feels really bad and she wants to pay for it. Well, he didn't know more than get that out of his mouth. And another guy, his name's Rodney. Rodney stopped by, and occasionally Rodney needs help with gas money. And so I go to the gas station and we put some gas in his car. And so Rodney just stopped by and said, is there any work that I can do? He said, anything I can do? And Dan said, well, yeah, you want to fix a mailbox? And he goes, sure. And so Rodney goes home and fixes the mailbox. And so I'm talking with Dan, and I found out that just a few months before that, Dan lost his wife. And he was telling me about that. And I said, you know what? 7 or 8 years ago, I lost my wife to cancer. And we began sharing stories. And we have a bridge now. We built a bridge. And not long ago, Dan was driving by while I was getting the mail. And he pulled in and we caught up. We'll see each other someplace. I actually wrote the lady who ran into our mailbox. You know what? I sent her a note. You know what kind of note it was? It was a thank you note. And I said, thank you for running over our mailbox. Serious. And I wasn't being sarcastic or facetious. I was saying, because now I have a new friend. And I've got a friend that lives back there, and I know, you know, what's going on in his life, and it's a cool bond. Why? Because we have something in common. We went through a similar experience of losing a wife. We have something. And so when you want to tell somebody about God, you start with what you have in common. But Paul goes on, verse 24. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything and satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. So what did he do? Tell them who God is. Hey, young man, what's your name? You don't want to tell me. Okay. You have a lot of energy, don't you? I like that. But tell them who God is. God made everything. God has no needs. He gives life to everything. He satisfies every need. And what we are to be witnesses of what God did and who God is. So, how do you be a witness? How many of you know at least two or three things about God? So here's what we're going to do. Right now, turn to the person next to you and tell them two or three things about God. Right now. Now, tell the other person two or three things you know about God. Okay, now, by a show of hands, let me know, did anybody die in that process? You died? Nobody died, right? Everybody's still living. That's all it is. When people, we get so nervous about sharing your faith, you just did that. You told people what God is like. And that is all that Paul did. He told people what God is like. And so, it's like, how many of you have ever been to a college football game? And you tell somebody what that was like going to that college football game. That's what it means. Just telling people what your experience was like. That's what Paul did. Verse 27, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And what did Paul do there? Tell them how to seek God. What does it mean to seek God? There's this promise all the way through the Bible. There's this promise, and it's in Jeremiah 29:13, but it's all over the place. And Jesus has shared it as well. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so when we say, God, I need you. He comes in and he makes himself real. So you can tell people, read your Bible and tell God as you read it, God, if you're real, help me to find you. Help me to know you. You can tell people to pray, God, if you want to, God, I want to know you. Help me to know you and pray. And God always, always, always answers that prayer. Every time. And Paul said, God is not far from us. And so if we will seek God, we find him. In verse 29, he goes on, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol, because that's what they were thinking about, that God was an idol. We shouldn't think of God like an idol designed by craftsmen or from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. He told them to repent. Tell them to repent. Now, repent sounds like a complicated word. So we're gonna practice repenting right now. Would you stand right now? We're gonna do repent practice. And let's all face that direction. Okay? All facing that direction. Now, turn around and face the opposite wall. There you go. Guess what? You have a seat now. Give yourself a hand. Everybody repented this morning. That repent is a military term, and it means to do an about face. Repent means I was going this way with my life, and my life was going this way, and I was doing things my way, but then I changed directions and I said, God, I want to do things your way. That's what it means to repent. And so that's what Paul said. You have been worshiping all these idols, and now God says you need to repent. You need to turn around and seek me and turn to me. And then verse 31. For he has set a date for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has proved to anyone who this is by raising him from the dead. So it will remind them of God's power. It's not your power, it's not my power that changes anybody's life. It's God's power. How much power does God have? God has enough power that he can raise the dead. He has power over life and death. And then verse 32, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, and others said, we want to hear more about this later. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Demarius, and others with him. And then what do? Watch God change lives. Watch God change lives. That's one of the most beautiful things to watch, is to when you share the good news with somebody, watch God change their life. 38 years ago, I had a friend that was a part of a camp. And I remember at that camp sharing with my friend and saying, you need Jesus to take control of your life. And guess what? He did. And I prayed with him, and he gave Jesus control of his life. His fiance, a few years after that, introduced me to Diane, my wife. Their son was a missionary that worked with Kevin and Sandra Gutwein. And so that one time led to more and more and more of God's kingdom beginning to grow. So, that's how you tell people the good news. The good news of what Jesus did for them, but there's more to that. Alex, come back up. Just like Alex is sharing the good news, right? You've got this on. Good news. Here's the truth. You are the good news. We walk around like this all the time. If you have given Jesus control of your life, you've got the good news. And you need to share the good news. In fact, what I'd like you to do is get your phones out right now and take a picture of this fine young man. And every time you see that picture in your feed, you can remind yourself, I'm the good news. I'm the good news. Now, I realize Jesus is the good news, but we are a mirror of who Jesus is. We're a mirror, and we're supposed to reflect that to the world. In fact, what did Jesus say? Matthew 5, 13 and 14, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Thank you, Alex. Good job. You can have a seat. That's who we are. We are reflecting the good news. Jesus said, did he say you should be the light? No, he said you are the light. And so you'll either be good light or bad light. You'll either be good salt or bad salt. We are to reflect Jesus to the world. We are to be the good news in that. But sometimes, kind of like, have you ever been to a carnival and looked at the mirrors at the carnival? If we're not careful, that's what we'll do to the good news. By saying we'll live one way, by wearing a newspaper that says good news, but then treating people poorly and being rude or obnoxious, that's what we do the gospel. And so our responsibility is to be the good news, to reflect the good news to a world that needs to know about Jesus. Would you stand with me? As we pray, here's my challenge to you, that you would pray this. God, I will use the opportunities you give me to be and to tell the good news. Just pray that to God. God, I will use the opportunities you give me to be and to tell the good news. Father, we thank you that you have given us good news. You haven't given us terrible news to share. You've given us good news. The good news that Jesus came to save us from our sins, to forgive us, and to give us power, power over life and death. Thank you for that. And if you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never said yes to that good news, simply pray this prayer right now in your heart to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for me. I want you to forgive my sins. I repent. I turn my back on the way I used to live. And I want to live for you from now on. Make me your child. And if you pray that in sincerity, God is changing you right now. Father, thank you for the power you've given to mankind. The power that you have to change lives. We worship you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.